it off, take it in, take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look, hesitate, take a picture you could never recreate. Write a song, make a note.
Welcome. I gotta start again. That was a little bit, that was feminine even for me. Yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
Just got off of a tour at Fire Island, and I am glad to be here. Is that Fire Island?
Yeah.
That's a Fire Island tour. My name is Justin Cross. This is Sarcastic News Live. We have a hell of a show. Packed house, right across from me. I can't wait to introduce the crack squad here in a minute, but, great, great show. We're coming at you live, you don't know, from the Skid Row Studios. We've got Mindy in the back working the sound with us. We're right here in the heart of LA's Guadalajara Merchandising District, folks. And,
oh, my goodness.
There are people who don't like the Guadalajara Merchandising District. Tonight, though, we have a special guest. She's been with us a couple times now. We're excited to have her back. Writer from the Huffington Post and PolicyMike.com, a graduate of the London School of Economics, Liz Plank will be here.
Smart lady.
Very smart. And we're going to get her thoughts on Marissa Mayer, CEO of Yahoo, did a scantily clad play. I love hearing how people described it, too. They were flirtatious pictures. Like, who's she flirting with? She's married. She has a kid. Like she's flirting with like Jake the Snake Cranny or something. Like how?
Hey, she needs to get out of the house. Okay.
that was the manly voice coming back from the bowels of the loyal Marymount Library. Lightning Matt Mills in the house. Lightning Matt Mills right across from me.
What? I don't have a lightning sound drop.
Man. The even more feminine voice, Ezzy the Rocket Hussein. Of course, we call her the Rocket because of her love for Hakeem Olajuwon.
Woman. That is a dated reference.
We got Michael Porter, the blogger in chief, Michael Lorenzo Porter in the house. Blogger in chief, Michael Lorenzo Porter.
Working hard
as always. You were here even 10 minutes. We were all here early for once. That was impressive to me.
Well, I was already downtown, so.
You were in the neighborhood.
He didn't care about the show or anything.
He thought you just drop by.
Yeah, I'll show up.
He had like a platter of wings and some beer from Hooters or something. He's like, yeah, you know.
Whatever.
Matt Sugar Mills on the sound right there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, right next to me, as we mentioned, Jake the Snake Cranny in the house.
Guys,
the best.
Guys, I'm feeling it.
What is this going to be, Snake?
Top 46 tonight. Top 46 show.
Wow.
That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
Some ones we haven't even done are better than this one.
Exactly. It's leaving room for what's to come, basically. I like it. You built some space in there. We begin tonight, though, with a nonstop, unfettered, positive vibes that are emanating from a country you may have heard of called Egypt, home of the Nile. Now, as civil unrest and violence increases between a military government and supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, just like a middle child starving for some attention, America's sitting there going, hey, I want to get involved. Many Republicans, including 2008 Republican presidential nominee and steadfast curmudgeon John McCain, are weighing in. They're weighing in saying we need to cut the aid to Egypt. At the same time, though, we've got President Obama and others saying that they're hesitant to do so, as Egypt is a key partner to the Middle East peace. Plus, let's be honest, the U.S. has an economic stronghold in the Suez Canal. Clearly, this is a complex situation. A lot of different stakeholders involved. It's not really a clear situation on what is to do right here. And we know that because guess what? Not even the almighty Fox News can come up with a unified opinion. Here's a clip, folks, from Fox News earlier this week. It's Fox anchorman Sean Hannity and stewards of democracy, Professor Pat Buchanan and Dr. Juan Williams. Here they are.
This president supported Mohamed Morsi. This is a guy that referred to the Israelis as descendants of apes and pigs. This was a mistake from day one. Juan, tell me why not.
Because we were trying to promote democracy. That's America promoting our values, Sean.
Now, Hannity continued to press his anti-Obama view until the conversation hit its climax with Juan Williams unloading this little number.
5% for the Salafis.
Buchanan, Obama,
what's that?
Obama supported a radical Islamist. Not only did he support, he paved the way for his ascension.
What is the choice, Sean? Be real. What was the option? Real politic option, Sean. You can't just smear everybody with one brush.
Okay, we'll do business with the radical Islamist. That is insane. Oh, that's the definition of insanity.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
First of all, you can smear a group with one pin. They do it every single day. Okay, you can smear them with a brush. Yeah. Second of all, what was that last part? It sounded like Juan Williams just got done with a furious round of sex. Did you hear that? Can you play it one more time, just towards the very end, Matt?
That is insane. Oh, that's the definition of insanity.
Sorry,
oh man.
He was exhausted.
Like, someone get that man a cigarette. One more time, Matt Sugar Mills. I'm sorry. That was I like that last part.
5% for the Salafi.
Let's go here. Yeah.
Islamist. That is insane.
Oh,
that's the definition of insanity.
Sorry,
no, man.
You just saw his O face right there.
That is insane.
Oh,
that's the definition of insanity.
Sorry, no, man.
Sorry.
And Hannity, okay, here we go. Hannity gave one last chance for the boys, the gentlemen, to concede their rational opinions and follow the Fox News agenda.
Democracy, you've got to admit, was trying to take out those military leaders one by one. And
yeah,
frankly,
but he didn't. Obviously, the military took him out, Sean. Catch up with the news.
You're missing the whole point.
You're missing the whole point. Was the bullet memo on the memo that all of his guests received, which says, ignore the facts, Hannity is always right. And then CEO, sexy news. Yahoo chief executive Marissa Mayer, as we discussed a moment ago, appeared in this week's Vogue magazine. The flirty, the scandalous photo session has caused many women to question Mayer's commitment to the feminist movement. Not having any issue with the photos taken in the magazine, however, San Diego Governor Bob Filner invited Mayer to appear in his own racy magazine called Tush Pat.
What was that?
Is that an alien landing? I don't know what that was.
It was some kind of alien penetration.
That's actually the official sound of Tush Pat magazine.
Yeah.
Which I have a copy of, by the way, and pages 34 to 45 are stuck together, but not because of what you think. It's actually just an elaborate cologne ad, okay? You just peel and sniff. That's Bob Filner himself. That's his O-face.
Yeah.
And finally, also in this week, Guardian journalist Glenn Greenwald's partner, a romantic partner, David Miranda, was detained at Heathrow Airport by UK police. Greenwald's articles and interviews with former NSA agent Edward Snowden have made major headlines of late regarding NSA surveillance practices. Although it wasn't the U.S., Greenwald's partner was read his own customized Miranda rights, where police stated his full name, David Miranda, followed by, quote, get the hell in the backseat of the police squad car.
That was the entire Miranda rights.
That was the Miranda rights that they read to him. A little different than we do it in America. Not much, though. The suspension of Alex Rodriguez for PED use continues, which is easy to forget with all the playing that he's doing. Now, he's getting some real punishment, though. Not only is A-Rod getting booed wherever he goes, pitchers are now intentionally aiming to hit A-Rod. In fact, his ass is definitely taking a beating, which thankfully is already numb from all the needles anyway.
It's very true.
Now, players are more upset that A-Rod snitched on others for his own drug use. They're actually more upset that he snitched. Quote, snitching on your friends is unforgivable, said Judas.
I'm glad we could get him for comment there.
It's the caliber of guests we can get for this show.
Last week we had Miko. This week we have a Huffington Post writer.
Judas.
We got Judas, you know. Yeah. And finally, Eli and Peyton Manning's older brother. You guys know this guy? His parents, they actually officially changed the name of his older brother to, quote, Eli and Anthony Peyton. Eli and Peyton Anthony. I fucked that up.
Start over.
Anthony, how did Anthony get in there? By the way, though, there is one Manning that's less fortunate. His name is Bradley Manning.
Wow, that was quite a segue.
I'm just saying.
It's so natural, you know?
One Manning not looking forward to the fall football season is this guy, who's facing up to 35 years this week, 35 years in prison. And even though his sentence will be challenged for the first time ever, his prison time will be able to be watched live via DirecTV Sunday Ticket. So you guys can tune into that. That is our rundown for tonight here. We got a great show, guys. Call in 800-893-9562. As we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we've got Liz Plank from PolicyMike.com. She's a Huffington Post contributor as well. Very excited. She's going to talk about Marissa Mayer. We've also got some good bits with Jake and Porter there and square off with a little fantasy football. Also, the Clark Rosenswag and Drew Rosenswag, Swag on Swag Crime, are going to be calling in towards the end of our show. And then Corey Hill will be joining us as well. Special shout out to Josh and Austin and Jim in Santa Fe Springs, loyal callers. And also, check us out. We've got on Twitter right now, we've got a live chat going. We've got social media guru Michael Lorenzo Porter all over that, at Sarcastic News One. Tweet us. Guys, we will be coming back right back, right here on the Sarcastic News Show. Here on the Sarcastic News Show, guys. I am that was fun. That was a fun opening. This may be one of our best top 25 shows
at least.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good.
We've only done 18, so it's okay.
Still better than top 46, though.
Yeah. I'm still leaving room. You
know? I also just want to give a quick shout out to one of our loyal listeners, Sean in Boston.
Sean in Boston.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. So Sean in Boston's real, Josh in Austin's real, and Jim in Santa Fe. I want as he call out somebody like call like Dave in Tennessee. You know, like people would just make up.
All right,
Larry King in
Clarice.
California.
Clarice. Abigail in
Tulsa,
Missouri. Yeah.
That's right. We got to keep it moving on. We got a big show for you. But before we get to that, we got a new sponsor here on the Sarcastic News Live. Who
it's
is
exciting.
That? Yeah. It's very
actually,
exciting.
I'm actually really, really excited about this because apparently we've been sponsored by the gas station brand Vitamin Packs.
Okay.
You rely on us for condoms that help keep you AIDS free. So don't be a pussy about vitamin C.
really
excited about
that. I like
them.
It. Nice. Mindy liked that in the back too.
Yeah. Do you agree that you've been sexually active?
Dr. Phil. That's another big guest we got.
Yeah.
The perks of that advertisement, we all get one of those clear packs with like five different colored pills in it.
It always cracks me up. Like there's 79 in there.
Yeah.
Moving right along, though, we got a fun little fantasy football game with Jake the Snake Rainey. Jake the Snake, take it away.
Absolutely. So, as you just mentioned, football season is fast upon us. It's coming up. We're all excited. And with the return of football season is fantasy football, something that has become a multi-million dollar industry. So, Michael Lorenzo Porter and I would like to throw our hats into the ring as fantasy football experts and give you guys some hidden gems this year for your draft. You know, anyone can say, hey.
This is great.
Oh, yeah. Anyone can say, hey, you should draft Adrian Peterson or Aaron Rodgers. But Porter and I each have three guys here that could really put your team over the top. These are late round guys. Right. You won't get them anywhere else. Yeah. So without further ado, Porter, get us started here. Who is your first fantasy gem this year?
I've got a guy who many of you may not know about. He's a star tight end. Well, he's on his way up.
Good. Tight ends are valuable. It's good.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a breakout season. Plays for New England. Aaron Hernandez.
Ooh.
I think this guy...
Oh, wait. Jesus. Hold on.
What's going on?
He is in jail.
He's in jail.
Yeah. Well,
and released by the Patriots.
I was just going to say, he's a little bit like A-Rod. You know how we were talking about how A-Rod has been taking it in the backside a lot?
So
is Hernandez.
So he's going to prison.
Yeah, he's not going to be on anybody's
man. Okay, well, that's
Did
okay.
You search warrant on the manufacturing plant.
All right, so I'll step in the ring here since that was...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so my first one here, hidden gem, wide receiver for the Bengals, Tavion Rogers. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. He is very, very low on the Bengals depth chart. And he did just make the switch from cornerback to wide receiver this season. But that just means he knows what the defense is going to throw at him.
Plus, though,
he is a graduate of New Mexico State University. And anyone that went to New Mexico State and didn't end up dead or in jail has to have perseverance. Yeah. So Tavion Rogers, look for him.
All right. Okay. I take your Tavion Rogers and I raise you one. Star wide receiver, played wide out his whole career.
Ooh.
Not changing positions. Ray Carruth.
Porter, that's...
He was great in 99. I think he's ready to come back.
Ah, okay.
Are they all in prison? Are all of your players in prison?
Porter,
that's not good.
I don't even know what to say to Ray Carruth. Clearly you didn't get the...
I thought you expected that. You didn't expect that, did you?
Ray Carruth. That's out of left field there, Porter.
Get him in the sixth round, seventh maybe.
Yeah,
he'll
sixth
be there.
Round, look right. for Ray Carruth. Yeah,
something with the name Ray, really.
Exactly. All right, next up for me, Arizona Cardinals punter Dave Zastadil. Yes, he is a punter. Dave Z-Bone Zastadil has been around the game, folks. He is 12 years into the NFL. He knows what he's doing. Now, I don't care if your league doesn't allow you to draft a punter. You find a way. Find a way to get creative. Get Dave Zastadil. Do what he did, okay? When everybody was saying, oh, you can never be a punter and make a living. You know, who would ever want to marry a punter? What am I going to tell my friends? My son is a punter? I don't think so. No. Old Davey Z made it happen. So you find a way, folks. You find a way to pick up Z-Bone. Late rounds, he's going to be a great pick.
All right.
Yay!
Okay. Thank you. Dave Zastadil, folks.
Yeah.
Right. Punter, I see. That's a clever move.
You're not going to see that coming. Field goals?
I don't think I'm going to go a little bit more traditional. I think I'm going to go quarterback. This guy's out of Washington State. He was a finalist for the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, wow.
Great arm.
This guy sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Ryan Leaf.
Jesus, Porter.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
He, I think, is in prison right now.
He is in prison, yes.
Yeah.
So none of these guys can play.
All of your players are in prison.
I really wish I knew enough to be entertained by this. These are all in the same category of who the fuck are they.
Trust us. It's entertaining. Trust us.
So if you want to fail all of your fantasy football leagues, just follow Porter's advice. I guess I can just close it out here with one last one.
Yeah.
And this one, you know, aside from people that are in jail or played in like the 60s or whatever, this one's really out of left field.
Yeah, okay. Can draft the Jacksonville Jaguars. No,
that would be fantasy football suicide.
I'll draft Ryan Leaf before I draft Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right.
Okay.
So my final one, out of left field, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. I think it's Matthew Ryan. Anyway, he plays QB for the Atlanta Falcons. So the Falcons, I don't know if you guys know, the Falcons fans were recently voted as the league's worst and least loyal fan base. So I'm pretty sure nobody knows about this guy, but supposedly he's pretty good. So definitely draft Matthew. Exactly. Draft Matthew Ryan. That'll be good for you.
Yeah.
There's love your that fantasy, guy. Fantasy update for the week.
He's out of Boston College, isn't that right? Yeah. He's out of Boston College. That's your fantasy football update. We got a lot of sportsmen. We got Jim in the Santa Fe Springs man cave, who is a big sports fan. So I know he's probably listening to your advice right now.
He probably wrote all that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to draft Matt Leaf. well, that's fantasy football draft picks with Jake and Porter, and that was fantastic.
That was great.
And yeah, as he was keeping up with it.
Who's Matt Leinhart? Is he still playing?
Matt Leinhart. Minor.
As he took a brief nap during that segment.
She took a brief nap since 2008.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, we got a great show. We got more coming at you. We got Corey Hill calling in here in a few minutes. We're going to do our Ring of Fire. Can't wait. We got Ring of Fire music queued up, too, don't we?
We do, indeed.
Awesome, awesome.
Not late on that one.
You are on fire tonight, Sugar. Sugar's,
yeah, we're good.
We're going to hear a little more from Sugar in just a few minutes. Stay with us right here on Sarcastic News Live. Sarcastic. Great, good energy in the room. Let's keep it going, okay? Don't rest on your laurels, Snake.
Oh, I'm out after that fantasy football. That's all I got.
Rocket.
I'm here.
You're a little quiet on that one, okay?
I have no lords to rest on, so I'm good.
Lords?
Yeah.
No lords?
Don't rest on your lords.
Yeah. I have no lords of which to rest on.
Yeah. Now, Corey. Corey up in San Francisco. You on the line, Corey?
I am indeed.
Excellent. I like Corey's always just, I feel like he's the most relaxed, just rational one. Like, we're like, and he's just like, yep, I'm here.
I was born here.
Corey up in San Francisco. I want to start with you on the Ring of Fire. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even introduce the segment. That's my bad. Hold on, Corey. We have to do this. It's a formality.
Go ahead.
This is the Ring of Fire, guys, and I'm excited to bring it up. Here it is, the Ring of Fire intro music. Going.
Three more minutes, guys. Hang with me.
That's the whole
thing. It's a burning thing.
All right, that's good. Should we keep it going?
We could. We could do
I think the cash estate needs more money.
Wait. I think he does.
You've heard of this guy? Wow. Oh.
He's done some things.
Jonathan Cash?
Okay, yeah.
Corey, I want to start with you. In the beginning of our rundown tonight, we talked about Egypt a little bit. And I want to know, this is the whole thing. This is the big question, right? Should we cut off aid to Egypt in order to sort of send a message to the world that, you know, we're going to call it what it is, right? This is a military coup. You know, there's been obviously violence on the military side. Should we cut aid off to them? Or, you know, obviously we have strategic interests in this as far as the Middle East goes, as far as economic resources go. What do you think we should do here? What are your thoughts?
I think we should cut off aid. I mean, it's a coup by any other name, and the only reason that it hasn't been called a coup is specifically because we would have to stop giving them money. So I do understand, you know, the economic interest and the geopolitical interest at hand here. But, you know, a lot of the rest of the world already thinks that we're hypocrites when it comes to what we do with our money and who we decide to call a terrorist and a dictator. And I think when we are giving $1.5 billion to a regime that is going into protest camps and killing hundreds of people, it's really hard for us to have widespread, you know, credibility, which is one of the things that I think that, you know, over the past 30, 40, 50 years, the U.S. has really lost in spades, and it makes it more difficult for you to use, you know, different options.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me turn to Matt real quick. Matt Sugar Mills over here, yeah, right across the street here. Do you feel like, to Corey's point there, as far as cutting off aid and the idea that the fact that we are still giving them money is hurting our credibility throughout the world, do you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, it makes us look like the pushover dad. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, did mom say it was okay? Okay, here's your allowance. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's... There's a little bit of that going on. So, yeah, I would agree with that. There's at some point when we need to be, if we really want to have the influence in the world and look like a strong presence where we're not running over people, but also having a say that's going to be influential. Yeah, right. I think we need to take a stand.
Right. And Ezzie, do you feel like we should possibly, instead of just cutting off the aid completely, do you think we should maybe more strategically send the aid to just one group, right?
I definitely think that, like, it's on the surface, it sends, like, a really profound, strong message, and it's like, we're stopping funding altogether. But realistically, that's how people like Bin Laden were created. That's how, when we just walk away from a situation and let it fester on its own, then what you're going to leave is the natural survival of the fittest, which might not be the person we want to take over. So if you just say, hey, let's stop funding, and you let the Muslim Brotherhood fight against the, you know, military coup, fight against the civilian, you know, grassroots efforts, you're gambling literally with the fate of Egypt and how it's going to affect us.
Let me ask you this, though. I want to follow up on that, because if you give money, you know, directly to them, like at the right now, the head of Egypt is the military.
Right.
There's not, like, we don't really have a true ally. It's not like there's a, you know, even when Morsi was there, even though we didn't agree with the politics, as Juan Williams was alluding to, like, even though we didn't agree with it, we still try to make it work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, there's not really a clear head of government.
So then you make
right
one.
Now.
So then
we make one?
Oh, hell yeah.
We make one.
Are you not, like, aware of the fact that, like, for like, probably as long as there's been an American government, they've done a lot of covert manipulation of things that are done on the ground?
Yeah.
So they can feed money, and they can do things that are non-existent right now. They can literally create an entity that doesn't exist.
I want to get Jake and Porter in. What do you guys think about that? I mean, it literally does come down to us, like, sticking our heads in there, becoming, like, the middle child who wants attention, trying to, in a way, police, not the world necessarily, but at least police one country to a certain degree, whether it's just funding or, as Ezzie suggested, which is true, we've done this to a lot of other countries, we actually try to control the heads of state. Do you think we need to get that involved?
I'm always of the opinion that we should take more concern over what we're doing and how to improve our situation. But I completely agree on the same note with what Ezzie said. Like, you can't just ignore things like this and hope that, you know, good guys win. Like,
right.
I don't think we have to be involved in every conflict everywhere, but it's a tough line to kind of walk. And I don't know beyond that what my opinion would offer on a volatile foreign affairs situation.
Well, let me ask you this, Porter. Do you feel like, what do you feel like? I mean, do you think that we should get involved? I mean, currently, I think we can all agree that what we're doing now, which is sort of, I mean, I guess we're in a decision-making, waffling mode.
Wait and see kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always, for me, going to be kind of what Jake is saying. You know, we have to take care of, you know, our own backyard before can go, you know, hop in a plane and go say, hey, well, you should be doing this when we're fucking up constantly. You know, it just seems kind of wrong to me. Just at that basic foundation of, hey, you know, what are your kids doing? Where are they?
Right. Corey, I want to ask, do you on this topic, because it is one that's, I think, obviously it's complicated. It's hard to know. I mean, it's hard to really have there's a lot of different angles to take to it. Do you want to add anything to the conversation here as far as Egypt goes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I wanted to kind of echo the statement and go back to the statement made about creating entities out of nothing and the U.S. kind of going in and building up, alternative structures of government. I mean, yeah, that is something that we have done on a regular basis for a really long time, but I think that these short-term kind of planning that takes place at U.S. foreign policy level of let's go in and do this thing to fix this immediate, from the U.S. perspective, to fix something, always has long-term impacts that are impossible to foresee. And usually they end up being worse than the thing that was the thing that we were trying to fix. And I think that this myopia and this kind of short-sightedness, this six-month, one-year time frame that we're looking at is insane to me, and it ends up having these long-term negative repercussions. Like, we thought we could reshape the world after World War II, when there's all these different ethnicities and, people have their own opinions about what they want to do with their lives, and, the long-term consequences of that are still being felt in Israel and Palestine and Jordan and all that. So I think to say, like, oh, let's go in and build this government or do this thing to fix, quote-unquote, fix this thing is kind of hubris and arrogant, and I think that, we're reaping what we sow from having done that for a long time.
So I just wanted to add one thing. That's a very valid, aspect of what I said, but I wanted to also say that it's more of a, if you've already put yourself out there, if the United States has already caused a ripple effect to a certain extent and gotten involved, mm-hmm. then they do at least have an obligation to fix what they might have started. And all I'm saying in terms of what they should do in the short term, you're right, totally, Corey, in terms of saying we've traditionally screwed things up in the long run because we're short-sighted. You shouldn't have necessarily gotten involved to begin with, and you should have let the citizen up naturally uprise and et cetera. So now there's only a certain amount of responsibility to undo a little bit before letting free will and them take care of themselves and et cetera.
Yeah, and I just want to, I mean, there are a couple other topics, but I just want to stick on this one, and we're going to have to wrap it up here soon. But I like this because it's obviously pretty nuanced. I do want to look at the angle real fast, so of how, Egypt does play a major role in the Middle East. They're an ally to both Israel and obviously the Muslim world to a certain level, right? And, the thing is that's extremely valuable in a bigger picture standpoint. So, it's one thing to say, yeah, it's short-sighted to just go ahead and, keep funding them, keep funding the Muslim Brotherhood. But at the same time, I mean, I think it's also kind of short-sighted to say, well, we should just, cut them off. And then you're left with a situation that maybe, has a bigger ripple effect, throughout the Middle East. Matt Sugarmills.
Yeah, I mean, I think to Corey's point, the world is a lot smaller than it was after World War II. And you see that with the Arab Spring. I mean, that really all came about because the younger generation, there's a huge percent that's under 30 in the Middle East and in Egypt, and they're on the internet. They see what's going on in the rest of the world.
Wait, time out. They're on the internet?
Yeah.
They're on Facebook?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
The Twitter machine?
Yeah.
So it's to a point where what else is there for us to actually physically bring to them that they can't do to improve their situation themselves?
Definitely. Final thought. I want to give it to Corey here. Final thought as we wrap up the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to echo, too, to kind of go back a little bit to what you were saying about the, strategic interest with Israel and with some other allies. Is that I think even that point about, why is that relationship valuable with Israel is, again, one of those kind of short-sighted, why do we value that relationship? And I just want to go back to the fact of, we always seem to value the kind of short-term economic or geopolitical and not think long-term. And it's really, really, really important that we start to rethink how we do all that.
Yeah. It's hard to argue. It's extremely hard to argue with continuing to fund basically a head of state that isn't a head of state. It's a military who's committing atrocities. That's pretty hard to justify. So
exactly,
Matt, guys, that was a good little spirited discussion. Corey, thank you very much for joining us. As always, good little discussion. Matt, can you wrap it up here with a little Ring of Fire as we kind of go into our break here? We've got Liz Plank coming up from the Huffington Post and PolicyMike.com. We're going to talk a little Yahoo CEO with her coming up next. But Corey, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem. You guys have a good one.
That's the Ring of Fire.
Sorry.
No. That's yeah.
Are we going to break?
Let's do a quick break. Yeah, we'll do a quick break because I know Liz is holding.
All right.
All right. Great.
Here we go.
There we go. We're back here on the Sarcastic News Show, and we are joined, I think we have on the line, she's a writer for PolicyMike.com and also a contributor to the Huffington Post. Liz, are you with us?
I am. Ah! I'm now an editor, by the way. I got a promotion.
Wow. Yes.
Knock that out. Thank you.
You didn't even need the
I
sound
still
drop.
Though, so
that
it's still
is live clapping.
Wait, yeah. say that one more time, Liz.
I'm still a writer, but I'm also an editor now. So
wow, that is tough. Congratulations! And I'm guessing, and this is just a guess. I'm just throwing this out there. It was something that you could contribute a lot to being on this Sarcastic News Live. Is that correct?
Big part of you. It had a lot to do with it.
Promote that woman.
Yeah, promote. Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh man, like you get the word out, you know.
Exactly.
Liz, first of all, I really wanted to bring you on because you, I mean, obviously you have a lot of thoughtful things to say on a lot of different subjects, but when it comes, this week the story came out that Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, posed in Vogue magazine in, as it was described, flirtatious pictures. First of all, I want to ask you, did they come off flirtatious to you?
So I have to be honest, my first reaction was pretty negative. I was like, what? Is that Marissa Mayer? And like kind of, oh no, she didn't, you know, because I'm already not, I have to say, not a huge fan of certain things that she said in the past and the stance that she's taken about certain issues. And yeah, my initial reaction was just like a gut reaction. I was like, what the hell is this? And I looked, I thought not just flirtatious, but like, she's like upside down in this weird, like lawn furniture situation, and she's like, she doesn't look comfortable at all, and she almost looks like dominated. You know, the way that the camera, the way that they decided to kind of put her, you know, lying down in the camera, you know, looking down on her, and it's very passive. So I had a bunch of problems with it. But yeah, once I started kind of talking to women who are actually working in tech and working, you know, talking to women who are actually operating in these industries, they actually had more of a tempered kind of opinion about it. And I can share what they've said, so, which is not as much criticism.
So did your opinion actually shift because you talked to more folks in the, or more women in the, I guess, corporate world or in that industry?
Mm-hmm. I think actually it did. I still don't, you know, I still, when I look at it, I still have a gut reaction to kind of disagree with the idea that, you know, like no male CEO would ever be like sprawled out on lawn furniture.
I'm sorry, I don't. Actually, I have to. I know I disagree with you. I think Bob Filner would be glad to be sprawled out.
Oh my God! Please no. Whatever happens,
What if he did his like photo spread at a Hooters? You know, like even though he's banned, he's like, you know what?
Exactly. Can't believe he got banned from Hooters. I mean, of all places that he should be banned of. But yeah, no, I would definitely not. I don't think a lot. I mean, you would need consent from like any woman that would pass in front of like any newsstand that would have to be exposed to that kind of like vicious, disgusting material. If Bob Filner was like sprawled out on a lawn chair, I would not want to see that.
Me either.
But basically, you know, I think in this time and age, like, you know, in the situation we're in right now, you would never see kind of a male CEO kind of take that kind of.
Actually, Liz, this is Ezzy. I've heard a lot of positive things about you, and I'm a newer person in the SN Crack Squad.
I just want to interrupt. We say a lot of negative things about most guests, so this is.
So this was an anomaly that they spoke highly. So just on that point, you're totally right in that they don't have a male, you know, in a CEO position or anything of that caliber sprawled out. Mm-hmm. But you, in their world, for example. Is it the guy, the SpaceX owner, Richard Branson, is it?
SpaceX is
I'm trying to say is you do see a lot of males who are tan and shirtless on their yachts, and they're being portrayed as, you know, very strong and sexy. Why does that not detract? Why are they capable of being both strong and sexy and still not detract from who they are as a professional? And yet she can... In her world, again, they're not sprawled out, but they're also both attractive and strong professional men.
I think that's, you're like basically hitting the nail on the head. Like that's exactly, I think, the point that I started to kind of understand by talking to women who are in the industry who are saying, you know, what is it about a woman that enjoys fashion, who appears in a fashion magazine and who's very beautiful that takes away from her powerfulness?
Right.
And I think that's exactly the point that I think you're making, and which I totally, totally agree with. And I think there's also a difference between, you know, she's not like, you know, she wasn't shot by like Richard Branson, sorry, not Richard Branson, what's it, Terry Richardson.
Right.
You know, in a very sexual, like, she's not topless, she's not like doing like, she doesn't look like Lindsay Lohan, you know, like, you know, she is still, I think, very sophisticated. And she is actually a big fan of fashion. And if you read the spread, I think it really does justice to her and her, the job, you know, the kind of exceptional job and amazing job that she's done at Yahoo. And I don't think that her being, interested in fashion, appearing in a fashion magazine, or being very beautiful should take away any of that.
Right, exactly.
Well, can I ask you... do you think that might be part of her role in that position of power? Because I think sometimes CEOs, they're not necessarily doing the day-to-day, but they have to be the face of the company. Do you think that there is any value of that, that this is probably what she sees as part of her role, not just as the Yahoo CEO, but as also a female CEO?
Like a figurehead, basically.
Right, exactly. Right? Like, do you see this having any value towards that regard?
Well, I think it has value in the sense, I think every male CEO is probably, you know, I'm sure there's a set of people that are kind of paid to watch their appearance, and everything is very calculated in terms of their, you know, the appearance that they have in magazines or what they wear at certain events. So I think males' appearances are also, you know, very important in the way that they are perceived in this corporate world. And I think that also another thing that women in tech a group of women in tech who I spoke to pointed out to me was that, you know, even if to us it might seem like Marissa Mayer doesn't need to do this, and, you know, she's already powerful enough, why would she need to kind of show that she's also able to be very beautiful and be very sophisticated, you know, in that sense, in that superficial sense? I think for a lot of young girls who may not be interested in, you know, being a CEO or being, you know, working in tech or doing coding or, you know, being the CEO of a huge company, might look at Marissa Mayer and maybe be able to say, hey, this is a cool position. This is glamorous. I could do this. So I think it actually could be beneficial to some girls who may want to identify with that profession.
Yeah. And actually, to that point, you know, I think that's also a generational thing, you know, especially with millennials. is that there was one survey that said a lot of upcoming millennials would rather be a personal assistant to a celebrity than a CEO of a company. So I think,
oh my God, really?
Yeah. So I think to that point, if there is a way to make it.
Where was this survey done? Is this like a mall? Was it a mall survey?
It was in Hollywood, California. Yeah.
I would need to check my sources.
But that actually, it's not just necessarily artificially saying it, but Liz, to your point, it's sending girls a message that they don't have to choose. They can be perceived as both attractive and yet also aspire to be math geeks and be tech geeks and not shun or dumb down their feminine aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Coding.
You should be doing this interview instead of me. You made all these brilliant points.
I was super excited about talking to you, so I hope that's coming across.
That is, ladies, that is fantastic. That is great. On our next segment. Yeah. Liz, thank you so much. First of all, let me just, I want to clear it up here. Coding is sexy, okay? Coding is sexy. Male or female.
Very, very sexy.
All the techies at my old job.
Justin hypothetically watches someone do that all the time, every day.
Hypothetically.
I can watch someone code.
Yeah, I don't hypothetically do it. I break into cubicles all day and watch that. That is my porn.
As long as it's not Bob Filner, I'm
absolutely. Oh, God.
I like that. I think everybody can agree on that one. Bob Filner, any photo shoot anywhere is not good.
Never
Liz,
sexy.
Thank you so much for joining us. We got to go, unfortunately. We got a couple callers. We got a final segment we got to close up. But thank you so much, and congratulations on your promotion at Policy Mike.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thank you so much. We'll be right back here. Thank you so much. We will be right back here on Sarcastic News Live. We got the Rosenswags coming up right here on Sarcastic News Live.
You're good? We're back. Are we back here?
Yeah, we are.
Am I live?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Okay, so we've never done this before. We've got two callers. I think they happen to be related. Clark, are you there?
Do it live!
I am here.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Two swags, one cup.
We got Drew. Drew, are you there?
Drew Rosenzweig is present.
Awesome. Yep. Okay, so this is Clark Rosenzweig versus Drew Rosenzweig. Do we have any theme music? Can we do?
Sure.
No, it's okay. We only have 4 minutes left, so let's don't worry about the music. This is a bit we're trying here. I'm excited. We got swag. Palm broke off. All right, so gentlemen, you have about 3 minutes to do the bit of your life, and I put it out there. This is a new bit we're trying. It's swag on swag. Gentlemen, will you just preface the audience real fast? What is this about?
Well, the two of us
working out well.
Clark and I grew up as probably the two most prominent child Reagan biographers in the country, not the world. Our dad used to read us to sleep with a Reagan mask on. It was truly morning in America. And recently, the butler, Lee Daniels, recently came out.
Yeah, not to be confused with the 1916 film.
Not to be confused with that film. There's been some allegations that Reagan, not exactly a kind ally to African-American plight, and Clark and I are here to basically give off the facts we know that basically state otherwise. Because we know that if anyone ever loved African-Americans, it was Ronald Reagan.
Definitely. I like it. I didn't know if the bit was like to explain the bit for 3 minutes.
Yeah. I thought that was the bit.
And we're out of time.
Sounds great.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys can hear each other. This is, again, something a bit we're trying.
The answer is no.
Okay, you guys. So what I'm going to do is I don't know how I'm supposed to really moderate this, but I guess what we're doing is Reagan facts. Is that right? You guys are competing, basically. That's what I gather.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just know so much about Reagan. I feel like...
Well, I gotta give the tip of the hat here real quick. We got about a minute left. So, Clark, come at me with, like, your two best Reagan facts.
Well, number one, a lot of people thought that Reaganomics was the first choice for his economic policy, but originally he actually wanted Ronanomics. and even that wasn't the number one choice. The number one choice was Ekaronmics. Both of them just terrible. I'm glad they said Ronanomics.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. And number two, he was an extra in Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing.
All right, that is the most...
They had to edit around him.
I was going to say, I don't remember his part. Well, that's pretty good right there. Drew, can you match your older brother Clark with your Reagan facts?
Well, just off the top of my head, here are, you know, simple facts. We know that he played in the ABA back in the 1970s. We know that if he had been president in the 90s, he committed on record as saying he would have appointed Uncle Phil Banks as the Supreme Court justice.
Oh,
we know that he fathered Mark Voorhees, popular NFL cast member.
Lisa Turtle.
That is true. Yeah. And, you know, Clark told me, I hope he didn't spoil it, but we all know that there are 9 members of the Wu-Tang Clan. U-God was not a member of the Wu-Tang Clan originally. It was actually Ronald Reff and Ronnie Reagan.
I think the Wu-Tang Clan is playing in the background of Drew Rosenzweig's... That was pretty good. So what I think we should do, clearly Reagan loved black people. I think that's clear. We're going to go around and actually I was going to do a round table, but I'm going to go, we don't have enough time for that. We're going to go directly to Michael Porter, our senior black correspondent here on Sarcastic News, and say who wins, Clark Rosenzweig or Drew Rosenzweig?
I don't know. I heard Drew use the phrase "rapping Ronnie Reagan," so I'm gonna have to give it.
All right.
Yeah. Well. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. We're both done.
I didn't realize that Michael Porter was also your senior bullshit correspondent.
Wears many hats.
Because I don't think Reagan liked black
well,
people.
Well, I was just gonna say clearly Clark doesn't like black people.
Hey, Reagan didn't like black people. That's
all Reagan. You see, Dallas is wearing off on you, Clark. Dallas is wearing off. Guys, Clark Rosen Swags, Clark Rosen Swag, Drew and Clark, the Rosen Swag twins. Guys, they're not twins.
The Rosen Swag.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We got to wrap it up. We got a show coming up right after this one. Intellectual Kink, a show about
BDSM.
Yeah. BDSM, not BSM. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. We love you.
My absolute pleasure.
All right, we'll see you.
Been here for 28.
That's the show. That's Sarcastic News. You get no exit. Tattooed no outro.
Beneath our skin. No surrender, my Bobby Jean.